Welcome to It's All Recruiting, the show that looks at everything through the lens of recruiting. I'm your host, Jim Stroud.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It's time for another exciting Ashen Pep episode of It's All Recruiting. I'm your host, Jim Stroud. Thank you so much for listening. Otherwise, if you were not there listening, I would be here talking to myself, which is not fun. So thanks again for being there. On the podcast with us today, it's a very special person with a very unusual topic, at least unusual, I think, and probably will be unusual to you as well. Tell me, mystery guest, who are you and what do you do?
Thanks, Jim. I am Emma Seward. I am a business psychologist, and I work for an organization called Nicholson McBride. We are a group of business psychologists and consultants, and we work with organizations essentially to help optimize their performance in the workplace. Most recently, I've been doing a lot of research in the area of neurodiversity, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Interesting. Now, neurodiversity. I've been hearing a lot of buzz around that term, neurodiversity. Can you define it for the audience? Because it was new to me, so it may be new to a couple of people who are listening.
Yes, of course. So neurodiversity is an area of neuroscience that focuses on how brains differ in structure and function. So we might say that familiar brain differences include, for example, left or right-handedness, clumsiness, IQ, and people's ability for art or perhaps music. Less familiar brain differences to those without personal or professional experience are differences such as learning disabilities, perhaps ADHD, Tourette's, dyslexia, and autism and Asperger's.
Now, is this a brand new type of focus or something? Because it sounds like it's a new trend, because I've been hearing the word neurodiversity as a new trend. But there have been people with these type of conditions, dyslexia, Asperger's syndrome, and so on, for a while. So is this really
definitely
a new trend?
Go ahead. The conditions have always been really prevalent. I think it's just received more attention from researchers and practitioners over the past 15 to 20 years. And I think that it has been influenced and brought to the forefront, especially within the organizational sort of aspect, by the wider diversity and inclusion agenda. I think more generally, there is definitely a hunger for better science-based understanding of workplace behaviors. And this is where neurodiversity really digs deeper to add value to these approaches.
Okay. Now, you have to forgive my ignorance. When I consider people with these type of conditions, I always have in my mind the movie Rain Man. Have you seen that movie, Rain Man?
Yes, I have, yes.
am I off the mark? Because I'm thinking of an office of people like Rain Man doing different things.
You're not completely off the mark. I think that there's many different forms of neurodiversity and different levels of individual functioning. I believe that Rain Man was classed as a savant in the movie, and so that's a savant is a person with exceptional skills or brilliance in a specific area, such as I think in his case it was rapid calculation and was it photographic memory as well. So people with that kind of neurodiversity have they may have neurodevelopmental disorders or autistic spectrum disorders. However, the prevalence of them are really relatively rare. So, for example, in comparison, around 1 in 100 of the general population is estimated to be on the high functioning end of the autistic spectrum. And so most are formally not being diagnosed. So there's a lot of different characteristics that make this up, and it's more of a spectrum. It's not so there's different levels of functioning. So just to make that a little bit clearer, I guess, is that a core characteristic of being on the spectrum, there could be sort of a bottleneck in terms of social understanding and communication relative to overall intelligence. So how this presents varies widely according to, you know, a personal style, learned behaviors, culture, and the environment.
Okay. Now, how can I say this politically correct way? I know that all people are talented in one respect or another, but what can I expect from neurodiverse candidates in today's workplace?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And this was actually one of the questions that we set out to answer in our research that we conducted, which I'll talk through in a bit. But how, obviously, how they present is impacted by a range of different factors, as I've mentioned, and it's on sort of a spectrum. So it's difficult to compile a comprehensive sort of complete list because it's such a diverse group and there's, you know, so many different levels of neurodiversity. However, we can kind of group them into a few common themes, and this has been corroborated with some previous research in the same sort of area. And so they may include things like they're very quite gifted thinkers, so they think in a slightly different way to how we may think. They have an incredible ability to focus on detail. They have exceptional concentration and a real strong preference for logic and rationality. And all of these have upsides and downsides, obviously. But all of these strengths are undoubtedly essential to a business's competitive edge.
Okay. Now, I understand your company did some research in this area. Can you tell me a little bit about the research and what it uncovered?
Yeah, sure. So we initially became interested in neurodiversity and how it might add value for businesses and organizations looking to get the best from their talent. Our clients from previous experience, those that were interested in getting the best out of their top talent, recognized the value in understanding, you know, different personality styles and, in one way, the importance of looking at emotional intelligence. So where we wanted to kind of go further was to extend this approach and look at those people who were considered as having a really high IQ and a low EQ. Our research found strong similarities between issues known to occur for people with high-functioning Asperger's and systemizing minds. So these strong systemizing minds and capabilities can be of enormous value, particularly to businesses reliant on scientific, technological, engineering, and mathematical skills. And this is what we call STEM skills. You might have heard that kind of term before. So the research evidence sort of shows that people with Asperger's and on the spectrum tend to gravitate towards STEM occupations. So when we were looking into doing our research, we really focused in on these occupations. So what we did is we had semi-structured interviews with some key stakeholders, so HR professionals, managers, and STEM individuals themselves who work within the business and are seen to be really highly technical, so really brilliant in their field in what they do, but perhaps not so great on the social aspect side of things. So our main aims were to identify the key challenges faced by organizations, by teams, by business leaders, and by the individuals themselves. And we wanted to see then how this new aspect of neurodiversity would add value within this context. So what we did is then, so we asked her a lot of questions and we analyzed these and grouped these into themes. And so one of the main first findings that we found in terms of overall and more generally is that organizations were, they really understood the need to ensure that they had a high level of STEM employees within their organizations. And these are organizations, obviously, that employ, you know, scientists, mathematicians, engineers. And so they kind of understood the importance of this. They all reported that there was a number of personal qualities that they possessed, which really added value to the organization. So they were very organized and logical. They came up with really creative ideas. They're quite direct. They don't stand on ceremony. and they deal with conflict in a rational and fact-driven way. So there was a widespread agreement that the STEM individuals were critical to business success. So that was one of our main findings. Our second main findings is that some organizations, especially the organizations that depend and whose very existence depends on this talent, is they have already made significant changes to ensure that they motivate, develop, and retain their STEM stars, so that the most talented people. And so there was different ways in which they did that. One of them being in terms of the changes to the organizational culture, which is seen to be really important and imperative, because the culture needs to really align with what the STEM individuals seem as important themselves. So the values need to be the same. So for example, the types of things that STEM talent might value is they tend to like to be recognized by their peers, and in some cases more so than by their managers or by the heads of the organization. So if they seem to be a leader in their field, if they've come up with a new discovery, then this thing is more important to them than being recognized by, for example, just a manager who isn't more of a peer, so to speak. So this is, organizations that aren't sort of addressing this kind of thing, this is what they need to start thinking about, is different ways of rewarding and motivating their talent. Another way was with some organizations, what we found is that they had a change to the process and the structures that they put in place with many organizations. So STEM talent, what we noticed is that they don't enjoy and they struggle on the social interaction side of things, and they don't enjoy managing and the people side as much as the regular sort of population. So some organizations had put in place that they would have a what they call a dual track career path. So if they wanted to, they could just follow a scientific or a technical path, which did not include any managerial side of managing people, but the people side of things, if they wanted to. And so it was a way of helping to develop and progress them and to motivate them and to retain them without losing all that expert knowledge that they had. And so that was what we found that people had, organizations had been putting into place. But with all of this, there came a lot of challenges. There was challenges at the organizational level. There's challenges in terms of leading and managing STEMs, and challenges of the individuals themselves. I feel like I've talked quite a lot.
I find it all fascinating. I found it all fascinating. And that actually was answering another question I was going to ask, is that do you think that because of the challenges in managing workers of this type, do you think that's the reason why some companies sort of steer away from targeting candidates with autism?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely we did come across that, because one of the things was that that came up quite a lot, a recurring theme, is that it takes more time and resource to develop and manage certain individuals. And so then that can cause the frustration within the team, with the STEM individuals themselves and with the managers. And that can, obviously lead to demotivation, and people might end up leaving. So I think that was one of a really important thing, was that what we sort of came out learning from that is that there is something that needs to be done in terms of awareness and getting people on board and realizing that people come across in different ways. So, for example, if, it's just the way that their brain functions is a little bit different to yours. So they might not be, they might not come into the office every day and say, how was your evening? What did you get up to? It might be purely focused on work-related things. And that doesn't mean that they don't value you as a person in any way, but it's more that they're so focused on, on getting the task done. So they do things in a slightly different way. So I think that was quite a big, it is a big challenge to have to weigh up then the commercial costs, I guess, of having to spend the extra time and resource to develop these people. Is do the benefits outweigh the time that it takes to do that? And I think that's a tricky question to answer, because you could say that, well, in the short term, yes, no, you know, it's not worth it. However, that person could be the one that comes up with that one amazing, brilliant idea that could change the entire, you know, future of that particular organization. You don't know.
Sure. And I was thinking that with the challenges associated with this type of candidate, whether it's social or even if it's a financial hurdle of some sort that a company has to deal with, I'm somewhat encouraged in this regard, in that I see companies like Microsoft and SAP have specifically targeted people with autism. I know Freddie Mac also has a program in place where they are targeting people with autism for internship type of roles. So when I hear about that, I'm wondering, is it that these type of individuals would thrive in large organizations, or is it perhaps too costly from a managerial or resource level for smaller companies to target these type of individuals as well? I mean, is it a big rich companies game, I guess, so to speak?
You know, I wouldn't. I'm not an expert in that kind of area. However,
sure.
I mean, what I would say is that I honestly don't think that it would cost any more to change the way that the recruitment process works. A lot of what came out of our research was that there were some organizations that were actually, you know, without realizing it, you know, unintentionally, self-selecting certain people out because of the types of assessment that they had to go through in order to get the job. So if there was some kind of, this is just an example, but a social aspect, that if they didn't meet certain competencies, they were automatically ruled out. And so at that point, so even at that early recruitment stage, they were sort of self-selecting out a certain group of people. So that's, I mean, I don't think that it would cost any more for a smaller organization to start just, you know, changing the way that they recruit. And I think it's definitely the way forward. And I think this is, you know, it's only sort of just getting started. But I think it's brilliant that, like you say, Microsoft and SAP have started to actively do that, because I think they've realized the value that these people, you know, can add.
Very good. If someone wanted to get a copy of some of the research that you quoted earlier, how could they get a version of that?
Yeah, I could send it to them directly. I'm just trying to think. I might have put some of it onto LinkedIn. So we've got a neurodiversity in business group that we are starting up on LinkedIn, and we post a lot of relevant articles to that particular group, and I could definitely put the full research, because I could talk about it for a really long time and I've only sort of touched on a lot of subjects, so
sure.
It definitely is a much more comprehensive report, and I could definitely upload that onto LinkedIn.
All right. Well, your passion definitely shines through. I'll do this. For everyone who's listening to the podcast, I will add a link to the group that Emma Stewart referenced in the podcast, as long as, in addition to additional related links that may be of interest to you on this topic as well. Looking
Great.
At the clock, our time has flown by. So. It's fascinating. We're going to have to do this again, because this is a fascinating topic for me, and I'm sure for everyone else listening. So let me just say thank you so much for being my guest in the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Until next time, ta-ta for now. Thank you so much for listening. If you were not there, then I would be here talking to myself, so thank you for that. If you would, check out the links in the podcast description, because they are there for you. Finally, if you love what you heard, hate what you heard, or not quite sure what you just heard, I want to know about it. Connect with me on Twitter,
at Jim Stroud, or LinkedIn, or Google Plus, or pretty much anywhere you find me online. I'm everywhere, everywhere. Okay, enough of that. Until next time, one last word spoken three times to my people at Randstad Sourceright. Love, love, love.